Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining Dr. Perletta Ramos and Roz Shell in Living Life Powerfully. We help you turn the ordinary into the extraordinary by claiming your power, getting your heart in the game, and learning how to live from the inside out. Let's create more happiness and success in your life.
Welcome to Living Life Powerfully, dear friends. Well, I just want to tell you, last year I got rear-ended twice in 1 month, within 4 weeks, as a result of someone being on their phone connected to social media. Thank God it was just a fender bender and nothing serious. Just last month, though, I connected with a long-lost friend and a teacher from high school on Facebook. We actually were so excited to be connected that it led to us talking on the phone for a couple of hours. It was a real connection after all these years. So what are we talking about today? Social media. It can be a source of knowledge, information, expansion, connection, but sometimes it can also be deadly. Now, texting while driving is the number one cause of death for teens. They don't realize that driving 55 miles per hour, looking at their phone for just 5 seconds, they don't realize that they've driven the length of a football field with their attention somewhere other than on the road. Now, why can't they seem to disengage from social media even when driving? Worse yet, why can't adults seem to disengage from social media even when driving?
I love that question, Ross. I find myself in that in a conversation with other people as well. You certainly see it when you're out at restaurants that people will be sitting there together and yet on their phones, you know, either on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. And it raises a very important question about the need to be connected and what we're being called to be connected to.
Well, yeah, and, you know, as I'm doing my research on, you know, asking this question, Perletta, about, you know, what is it that makes us not want to disengage from social media? I came in upon this term called FOMO. Have you ever heard of that?
No, not until just now.
Okay, so this is a condition which has been exacerbated by social media. And what FOMO stands for, it's the fear of missing out. It's the fear of missing out. It's an actual condition. It's a pervasive apprehension that others might be having rewarding experiences from which one is absent. This social angst is characterized by a desire to stay continually connected with what others are doing. It's also defined as a fear of regret, which may lead to a compulsive concern that one might miss an opportunity for social interaction, a novel experience, a profitable investment, like kind of like the stock market, or other satisfying events. In other words, FOMO perpetuates the fear of having made the wrong decision on how to spend time, as you can imagine how things could be different. And there was a study done by Andrew Zybilski. I'm probably really butchering his name. Sorry, Andrew. He found that the FOMO condition was most common in those who had unsatisfied psychological needs, such as wanting to be loved and respected. Now, how many of us might fall into that? Go ahead.
Let's talk about that for a second, Raj, because it's, first of all, I get the point of creating an acronym like FOMO, but I wonder if this has existed from time immemorial and they're just using it to apply to social media. Because,
well, no. This term, Perletta, is not just applied to social media, though. This is a term that already existed. It's been exacerbated by social media. Yeah. Yeah.
See, I see it somewhat differently, or maybe you can tell me how it's related. But I think people have a desire to be connected. And what social media oftentimes offers for people is an opportunity to be connected to everyone all the time. And, or at least it's this false sense of connection, because there's so much information out there. No matter how much you consume, it's like you can never consume all of it. And so the desire is, at least for some, it may not be a fear of missing out, but more of a desire to consume, a desire to see what's happening, to be current and up to date. And maybe that's the flip side of what you're talking about, is if you're not up to date, then you're missing out on something. But it oftentimes gives the appearance of being connected, right, when you're on social media. Because I know from personal experience, for example, both of my daughters are not on several of the social media sites that I am, and they were initially. And when they disconnected, and they did this because one of my children felt like there's so much pretension on social media, and she just didn't, she got tired of it. To quote her, she's like, "Mom, people, they act like they're someone that they're not." And so she didn't want to participate in that. I missed her participation, because I got a chance to at least see her, or see her comments every day. And I had a false sense of being connected because of that. And it requires now that I reach out and call her more often, and to have that actual connection, at least via phone, since we don't live in the same city. So again, the fear may be a part of it, but it's also that sense that some people get a sense of being connected with others more consistently.
Right, and it's just the fact that it's called social media. It's just media, okay? It's really, we are being socially engaged with a reduced cost of admission. There's no cost of admission. You just get on and you think you're connected. When you're actually connected with somebody, there's a cost of admission. Cost of admission means that you've got to put everything, huh?
I disagree. I think there is a cost. And I don't mean a financial cost, but you're investing certainly of your time. You're investing of your energy, and you know, I think people can have meaningful connections. I'm not saying that you can to a group chat that has 10,000 people necessarily, but I think you can make a heart-to-heart connection in any context.
Well, there's a reduced cost of admission. There is still a cost, but it's not your emotional sometimes. You don't have to be emotionally involved with somebody. You don't have to, you know, it's more of just, you just put in, you know, it could just be a diversion for you. Okay, let me go on social media and check to see how this person's doing. You know, there's no real, like, you know, negotiation of time, and there's no real negotiation of having to, you know, sacrifice something when maybe it's not a good time for you and it's a good time for the other person, you know, to talk on the phone or actually meet in person. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's a very reduced cost of admission. You know, mediated communication perpetuates an increased reliance on the internet. It's a psychological dependence to being online, and it could result in anxiety when one feels disconnected. You know, it becomes like this mind game. And there's where it leads to a fear of missing out, or even a pathological internet use. Now, see, everything can be pathological. Eating too much can become pathological, right?
Absolutely.
Thinking too much can become pathological. And what we're addressing here is, how do you determine when it is time for you to step away? Because there is a real cost psychologically, physically. There's a cost to your goals, your purpose, all of that. And it's very easy to get drawn in. Because FOMO could simply exist as a pervasive mental state which is going to lead to all kinds of physical reactions. If you look in the teenage world, you can see what's happening. There's bullying going on. There's the, you can join the 100 club. That means if your post or your pictures doesn't get at least 100 likes, that you're not popular, that something's wrong. Can you imagine for a teen how much pressure that is? If somebody doesn't like their thing. And then there's another term called MOMO. MOMO means there's a mystery of missing out. So let's say you think that your friends are going to be in some party somewhere and nobody posted anything. Nobody posted anything, and now you're making up all this stuff in your mind that they didn't want you to know, that they didn't invite you. I'm just talking about how much anxiety this can cause a young mind. So we've got, we've got to really be concerned about people's psychological health and well-being. And you know, one third of people said that after they got off of Facebook, they did this poll, one third of people said that they felt depressed after they got off of a session on Facebook. And I wonder why that is, because people usually post, you know, the idyllic image of themselves. They're not going to post, like, you know, bad pictures of themselves or, you know, things that are going wrong. Not much of the time. People are posting when they're at parties and when they're eating a great meal at a nice restaurant and when they're, and now imagine somebody who is not feeling good or maybe who feels left out, and they're going to look at these images and they feel less than. They feel like, you know, they wish they could have had more. So
I think a part of what you're speaking to also is the lack of having meaningful, you know, conversations or dialogue. So when I think of social media, oftentimes I certainly think of it in the context that you're mentioning, which is, you know, the criticisms of, you know, it on some level it being superficial, and like you just mentioned, people posting only the positive things. And the drawback of that is that people don't feel a deeper level of connection, because the conversations are quite often one-sided, meaning the person who's posting is posting something about themselves. So the receiver of that just really gets to consume, and so there's no reciprocity or dialogue between the two, which I think robs people of a way of feeling more connected. And if you're judging yourself based on what you see, then, you know, you're going to either come up greater than, or what you're speaking to is you're going to come up as lacking, right? You're going to compare your life and say, oh, I'm not on this great vacation. Oh, I'm not eating at this great restaurant. Oh, I don't have all these wonderful friends. And
yes,
that's where the
exactly.
challenge comes in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, the other interesting thing is where this FOMO plays out, the fear of missing out, is that you want to say yes to everything that's coming your way. There's so much information coming your way because there is that fear of missing out. And they did this this poll. Actually, these were people in the U.S. and in the U.K., okay? And over half of the respondents said that they barely invest sufficient energy or time in delving into new topics or in new interests, because there's so much coming at them and there's a FOMO going on. And then you've got so much, so basically you go from one thing to the other, to the other, to the other. And I wonder how much of this contributes to the ADHD. Because we just, you know, we can't really invest in one thing. We can't really, you know, just focus on our goal. That's where it influences the formation of long-term goals and people's self-perceptions, because if you're starting to feel like you can't get a handle on anything, now you start to, you know, it starts to really eat away at your perception of yourself. You maybe start to feel like you're missing out, you know, it's impossible to do everything, and now you feel less than. Then you go into the stage of relative deprivation. And this may lead to your just this overall feeling of dissatisfaction. and having less than and not having enough. You know, did you know that on the average, we look at our phones at least 150 times a day? 150 times a day.
And see how many times I actually, no, I didn't know that, but you make me want to count and see how many times I look at my phone. I think, you know, does that include a work day? Like, you know, is this the average adult
Everything.
Or is this the average child?
No, this is the average person, yeah. And we upload 1.8 billion pictures on Facebook every day. 1.8 billion. And we have now shortened our vocabularies like LOL, LMAO, TTYL. And so what we're doing here is we risk losing the subtleties of our rich vocabularies. And we run the risk of not being able to communicate and express ourselves effectively. You know, ask yourself, okay, just ask yourself this question. What is my reaction when the phone rings? Just, you know, what's your reaction?
It depends on who I see as the name or the number popping up on my phone.
Exactly. You know, do I want to get this? Do I not want to get this? Why are they calling me? Why couldn't they have just texted me? You know? I mean, seriously, like we just get into this inquiry and then ask yourself another question. Can you walk away from your phone for an hour? Just walk away from it.
Well, I have to say, I think that too, so separating the phone from social media for a second, so just talking about cell phone usage, I remember when cell phones were first created, and I remember thinking when they became more popular and mainstream that I would never get one. I was so opposed to cell phones because I thought nobody is that busy that they need to have a phone with them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I have been shocked at not just the demand in the United States, but around the world. Everyone has phones around us. I won't say everyone, but, you know, it's so pervasive around this globe. And people have a constant need to be connect, you know, such that, you know, back in the day, you didn't call someone back until you got home and checked your answering machine. And now there's a expectation that people will respond to you in 5 minutes or less, which I think personally is very unhealthy. It's not necessarily the social media connection, because that's I'm separating that from this constant expectation that you're available for people, or that you should respond. And sometimes people get angry if you don't, you know, respond in 5 minutes, or they feel bad if, you know, the person that they texted hasn't texted them back, you know, the same day. And I know, have you experienced that?
Oh, yeah, all the time. And then all these things go through my mind, like, why are they trying to ignore me? Are they, you know, like my mind just goes to work at it. Or, you know, if somebody doesn't return my text or if somebody doesn't return my phone call or, yeah, I mean, you know, we have this need to be genuinely connected.
Absolutely.
And our physical world demands our attention, action, and emotions, whereas to the online world is just neat and clean because we can just be addicted to the likes, the comments, and the tweets. So basically what we've turned into.
Go ahead, Raj. I'll say my comment in a moment.
Okay, so we basically turned into consumers instead of creators, you know, because in a real connection, you can actually create with someone.
Well, I was going to say that I think that we have created the expectation out of our desire to be connected. So when, you know, when you receive a text message from someone and then they text you again and again, you know, within a short period of time, the expectation is that you're going to respond because that person has a desire to be connected. And sometimes, like you said, it's much easier to text or even to email than it is to pick up a phone. As a matter of fact, I've heard people say, you know,
you know, I didn't call you because I thought we would be on the phone for 30 or 45 minutes, so I just sent you a text. It would be easier. So although there's this desire to be connected, it's to be connected in this fast-paced environment because we're, quote-unquote, oh so busy, and, you know, I've got my little thing about being busy. I think that society is overly busy. And, you know, they all work together to contribute to a superficial level of conversation and communication and connection. We want to connect now, but we want to do it quickly and, you know, efficiently, and we don't want it to take as much time because we want to connect with multiple people. You know, one group isn't enough. We have to be involved with many groups and several social media platforms.
So, you know, I saw an interesting comic strip where this guy is hugging his computer and he's saying, "I love my computer. It's got all my friends in it." So let's just explore how we might have fallen for the digital mindset. How did we fall for this? So let's just look at the, you know, the psychological aspect of it, which is something, you know, I'm always interested in. When we are in pain, okay, namely we're in fear, we're in anxiety, depression, shame, if there's been any kind of trauma, we find an activity or habit to numb out this pain. This is how we deal with it. So this habit then becomes central to our well-being, and it takes precedence over our relationships, over our goals and values and our priorities. Okay, these priorities are just going to remain ignored and neglected. At this time, what we are doing is we're finding diversions or distractions that become central. And they're actually the coping mechanisms that we use to deal with our stress. So the diversion is an activity or recreation that diverts the mind from concern. And number two, a pain-numbing habit that keeps us from reaching our goals or connecting with others. Okay? So I think this is important to understand because we have to, you know, how are we going to realize if this is a problem, if our internet use, our social media is a problem? Because the first step to fixing any problem is to realize that it is a problem. The social media sites are a business. They are not social. I heard somebody say, take social off of social media. Just call it media. What these companies are trying to do is, they're trying to gather data so they can market to you. The more information that you provide these companies, the more lucrative it is for the site. Okay? It's just plain and simple. So just know that you are a consumer at that time. When you are on these sites, you are consuming what they have to give. And there's nothing wrong with that. You can use it. I'm sorry?
I said, it's no different than being than watching television.
You know, exactly.
I used to think that somehow social media was different, but it's really just another form of the TV. And we were evolving probably from the television in the same way that our parents used to watch the TV and prior to then the radio. We're just evolving into a form of mass communication from one to the next. And it's interesting because I know that, you know, I think like you, I don't watch television. I've been opposed to it for a number of years for the simple concern that the images that are perpetuated on me, I didn't want those coming into my mind and in the minds of my children, not knowing who is intentionally creating those images. And I have not had that same concern about social media because my perception of it has been that it's generated by people, individuals. There hasn't been some individual or group of or corporation that has been directing news towards me. And yet I find kind of like what you're alluding to, that although there may not be a business or that is like the news, you know, pumping information into us, it is a similar but a different type of a mass communication where views are expressed
And it's a different form of addiction, really.
Yes.
Like television could be. So
mm-hmm.
I think the
so
main
I want to get to this. I want to get to, yeah, excuse me, Perletta. We've got real short on time, and I've got like two or three points that I need to get in here, okay? The second thing is, are you being productive or are you being distracted? Okay, this is the second question. So the first is realizing you have a problem. The second is, are you being productive or are you being distracted? So what is so interesting is this gentleman named Paul Miller, he left the internet for one whole year and realized some really interesting results, okay? He says that in the beginning, he experienced a sense of freedom, excuse me, and was high on life initially. And then, boom, he began to feel intense boredom. Boredom simply means you are not doing anything right now. There is nothing to do. And there is nothing at arm's length that can fix that. And then he went on to explain that he actually took the time to decide what he wanted to do. This was an experience that he had not had when he was in the internet matrix, okay? He never had time to really be bored. He also explained that when he was with people, it was in a much more intense way when he gave up the internet. He said he would call people, and at times he actually started to experience loneliness, which is actually healthy. Now, if we ask ourselves, do I feel the whole range of emotions from intensity to boredom to connection to loneliness? Do I feel all of these things? If you are not feeling your emotions and you are not experiencing real connection with real people, guess what? You're probably being distracted. And when there is distraction, there can be no productivity. Period. And the third point I want to make is, once you are able to distinguish productivity from diversion, you are able to get back to the work at hand. Okay. And then the fourth point I want to make is, does this mean that you can never be on social media? No, it does not mean that. What this means to you is that you realize that being on social media for anything other than productivity is simply entertainment. Like Perletta, this is what you were talking about with the TV, right? It's just nothing more than TV. It's not true connection. It may just be the start of a connection. It will never replace the real world with the real problems, with the real solutions, with the real emotions, real experiences, creativity, purpose, goals, love, sunrises, sunsets, smiles, hugs. I could go on forever. There is a saying that being famous on Instagram is like being rich in Monopoly. You're not really rich, okay? Like everyone else in life, like everything else in life, moderation and balance are the keys. And maybe you will have to set a time limit, or possibly quit cold turkey from the social media matrix. Once you have brought balance back to your life, you will be able to use social media to your advantage. Using social media without a strategy is like playing football without any plays. So get a plan together so that you can do it right. I don't know who had this saying, but I saw it somewhere. Perletta, do you have some comments on this?
No, Raj, I'm good.
Okay, so I guess that's it. We're out of time, and thank you so much for joining us today. Next week, Perletta is going to be leading us in a conversation about addiction that you are not going to want to miss. Maybe this will just be a segue into that conversation on addictions. We would love to hear from you at pearlrajradio@gmail.com. Be sure to like our Facebook page, Living Life Powerfully. Stay true to yourself and stay empowered.
Have a fantastic and amazing day.